Blog Talk Radio.
This song says, God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunch anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and His grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me. I was really down. I was really down. The devil really had me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on now, just thank Him. Just thank Him.
I almost let go.
Amazing Grace by Rance Allen. Good evening to each and every one of you. I thank God for Jesus, and I just want to say that it is such a great pleasure to be able to bring forth this word and to have listening ears to enjoy the word that's going to go forth. And I've blessed each and every one that's listening in this evening. I'm Prophet Shirley Cain with When the Walk to Jesus Ministry, the ministry that helps the lost and the hopeless to find their way to Jesus. I welcome each of you that are joining with me on tonight for the encouraging and the uplifting word of God. And let's keep Aretha Franklin lifted up in prayer that she has prepared for whatever God deems in her life. And I pray that her soul will be at rest, whatever God's will is for her. But before I go on, I want to encourage you tonight. I just want to let you know that God has not forgotten what he has promised each of us. His word in Matthew 25:21 say, if we are faithful over a few things, I will put you in charge of many things. And then when we look at Isaiah 1:19, it say, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Just follow the order of God so that you will receive all that he has for you. Not just money, but good health, jobs, homes, relationships, and favor. Do you love him on tonight? Amen. I'm going to play one more song, and then we are going to dive into this word that God has for us tonight.
Now listen. In my moments of fear, every pain and every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. Can I get a witness, somebody? And when my strength was all gone, it had no song, he was faithful to me. Every word he promised is true. Thank you, Lord. And what I saw was
I'm
Well, that was Faithful by Vicky Yoey, and we just thank God that he is faithful. God is really, really faithful, and I thank God for his faithfulness because he has done so many splendid things in my life, and I'm sure if you could tell it, you could tell it too. And I know that he's not a respectful person, and if he did it for me, he would surely do it for you. Well, we're going to get into the word, but before I do, I want to have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come humbly to you, asking you to enter in the midst of this message. Lord, and I bind up any plots and plans that the enemy has to intercede in this message. I pray that your word will go forth, God, and I pray you will use me in any way you see fit, that you will decrease me and increase you. Let your word go forth and manifest someone's spirit to come to you, Lord, and we just thank you that we will be hearers and doers of your word and that this word will bless us and minister to us in our spirit. Lord, and we just thank you and love you in Jesus' name. I do pray. Amen, amen. I welcome that person that just came on the phone line. I thank you so much for joining in with me. You're right on time because we haven't really got into the word, but we are about to get into the word. And the scripture reading is going to come from James, the 4th chapter, the 7th through the 10th verse. And it said, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Excuse me. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen. I want to focus on the 7th verse where it says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, we are not strong enough to resist the devil in our own strength because if we rely on our own strength, we are relying on flesh, which will always fail us. Resisting the devil comes with submitting your will to God and not within your own strength. But as Christians, we have access to all the power there ever was, and that's the power we should be relying on. The best example of how to resist the devil in the 4th chapter of Matthew, when the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, when he had fasted for 40 days and nights, you know the story. Jesus was hungry. Satan tempted him to turn stones to bread. And Jesus refused because that wasn't God's will. So Satan told him to prove he was the Son of God by jumping off the temple. Then he tried quoting the scripture, which was all out of context, trying to twist Jesus on. But Jesus refused the whole time. Why? Because we're not supposed to put God to the test. See, Satan offered Jesus the world in exchange for worship. Jesus refused because only God is to be worshiped. Now, if we be truthful to ourselves, would we have handled that those temptations in that way? When we have refused those things that the devil tried to give us, and how are he going to give somebody the world that he did not create? And that's the problem today. We give the devil too much credit like he's the head of our lives and he's the most powerful one. And if we want to have a closer walk with God, we have to resist the devil. Looking at this story, after Jesus, he had fasted for 40 days, and I'm sure that he was hungry. The Bible says he was hungry. So why didn't he turn a rock into bread? Because God didn't tell him to do it. He wanted God's will more than he wanted his own. And then Satan told him to jump off the temple to prove he was the Son of God. We need to not be easily tempted. We have the power and the authority to shake Satan up by proving that we're standing on the word of God. and we are resisting him. It will keep you connected to Jesus because the words say resist the devil, meaning don't respond to him. Ignore him totally. Act as if he don't even exist. But see, Satan already knew that Jesus was the Son of God because Jesus had nothing to prove to Satan. Just the same as Satan know who you are. He watches you carefully. So never think because you carry a high anointing or you are an apostle or bishop or pastor or prophet or whatever the title behind your name that you cannot become a candidate to be approached. Jesus was the perfect one, and he challenged Jesus. And the truth of the matter is those that are in leadership are attacked the most because as a servant of the Most High God, we are reaching out to the lost to offer them salvation. We're praying for them in distress. We're sharing Jesus with the congregation. And we be hoping that we can reach out to those coming to Christ so that they can be developed into a new creation and away from the darkness of Satan's word. And you think Satan like that? No, he wants to be the winner. He want to have the victory. But I sit here tonight and tell him he's a liar and the truth ain't in him. The victory is always going to be in us. Jesus wanted God's will more than he wanted his own will. And that is what we have to do. We have to be steadfast in trusting God for everything. Jesus came to earth to pay for our sins and to save our souls. And the devil cannot offer that opportunity to you. Not if you are in a relationship with Jesus. See, Jesus wanted God's will more than he wanted his own. And that's what it means to submit yourselves to God. If we continue to trust God, and if we continue to stay in a relationship with Jesus and fellowship with him, we are sure to have a closer walk with God. It means that you will do his will, no matter what he asks of you, no matter what it costs you, no matter how much it hurts, no matter what the devil is offering you, because the devil he does tricks on you. The devil is a deceiver. He's a thief. He's a robber. And he's deadly to our soul. It's not easy in our human nature to gladly give up your own well-being. But that is what it takes to obey this Bible verse. Because, see, God has promised us a great reward in heaven if we obey. He has also promised a blessing in this world if we submit ourselves to him. Then we can resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Sometimes it can be an unending struggle. It really does take some discipline and some perseverance. And no, it's not an easy thing. When the Spirit of God within us gives us all the power we need to win every battle that we are ever faced, we can do it all through him. Many get so caught off guard because they want to serve to God. They want to serve their wealth, and they want to serve God. But you got to come to a choice, and many will choose wealth. Matthew 6:24 say, No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, You cannot have balance in your life having the things of the world and God. You will only be afflicted. You will mourn continuously, and you will live a lie and weep. What is God seeing in your soul? This verse is saying by afflicting the soul as an inward mourning, weeping over the plague of the heart, the impurity of nature, and the various sins of life. God is quick to forgive. He's quick to bless us, to comfort us, to help us, to strengthen us, to deliver us. And if we draw near to others, they may eventually grow tired of us, and they will leave us. But the word in Hebrews 13:5 says that he promised to never leave us or forsake us. If we seek the Lord alone, he will continue to come nearer and nearer to us through deeper and more joyful fellowship. That is why we must seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness for things to be added into our lives. And then the verse says, clean your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart. God is telling us we are also to wash our hands and purify our heart. It's not that we will never sin, because we all sin from time to time. And when we do, we must repent. And there is only one sin that God will not forgive, and that's the sin you will not repent of. We must agree with God that our sin is ugly, and we need to turn away from that sin. This is where repentance comes into play. Cleansing filthy hands and purifying tainted hearts is how we're going to show we are serious about drawing near to God. Well, some may wonder why it says purify your heart. It means get all the evilness out of it. Be kinder. Be loving. Don't be double-minded, because it's a sin. It shows we haven't really made the choice between the world and God. We have to go through a cleansing. We have to be delivered from those worldly things that only keep us in bondage. Galatians 5 and 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have to remember when we walk uprightly in Jesus, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but we will obtain the riches of the Holy Spirit that will abide in us. Then verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, which is done when men go before the Lord from their hearts and the sincerity of their souls, acknowledging their meanness and unworthiness, their vileness, their sinfulness, their wickedness, and implore the grace and mercy of God in Christ. We got to walk humbly with God, knowing we can't do nothing without him. We got to trust God's grace. God promised to lift us up. He will bring us out of any situation, any sickness, any brokenness, any heartache, any depression, and any darkness in your life. Then Matthew 7 and 1, so many times people take this scripture out of context. It says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. We have the law of God, which is the rule to all. Let us not presume to set up our own notions and opinions as a rule to those around us, those that we come in contact with. Let us be careful that we be not condemning of people. I know that a lot of people take this scripture out of context. However, there are instances where the Bible says we need to judge. We need to read other verses and not only this verse, because correction is not judgment. As the Bible says, we should correct, rebuke, and be bold to those who have sinned. And you're going to find that in 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Remember, God is not a respect for anyone that sins. That means that goes for the apostles, the bishops, the pastors, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, and yours truly. 1 Timothy 5 and 20 says, those who are sinning rebuke in presence of all that the rest also may fear. It is to be done in the act of caring for them, in the hope that they will repent, that they will be redirected, and continue the good works that God has called them to do. So, if your brother or sister is covered in tattoos or in a homosexual relationship, we must be careful how we judge them or talk about them. Instead, we should embrace that person with love and let God deal with their souls, what his word says about that. We should pray for correction in their lives. It is their choice if they want to be delivered or if that, of that lifestyle. We should not forcibly threaten them in hatred about the life they choose. And I know this is a real touchy subject, and I know a lot of people may not agree on me, but we got to agree with me, but we got to think of one thing that God says, love one another and love your neighbor. Your neighbor is someone that you don't know or someone that you may come in contact with. Someone may say, I'm agreeing or okay with that lifestyle. My answer is no, that is not the point. All sin stink in God's nostrils. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, it says, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexual immoral people, no adulterers, no adulterers, or anyone practicing homosexuality, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. And some of you used to be like this, but you are washed. You are sanctified. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of our God. And that's what the word say. That's not what Prophet Shirley say. That's what the word is saying. So, need I say any more about that? Our fruits are judged by God and how we display them to the world. And about those with tattoos. It does not identify who they are, and God is concerned with their souls only. And I know in Leviticus it talks about the tattoo. But see, when Jesus came in the New Testament, all of that was taken care of by him. He took all of that to the cross. We are all sinners, and we have flaws of some kind, and there is not a specific sin that God judged. God extend mercy to us all. There is no perfect or holier-than-thou Christian. Somebody had to pray for us to be where we are today in the Lord. Now, come on now. You haven't been saved all of your life. And we have to remember where we came from when we was once out there and lost in the world or in sin or doing all of those things that I just quoted to you in 1 Corinthians. None of us are squeaky clean. And we should help our brothers and sisters in correction in a humble way as an act of love. And don't worry about if they get offended. That is them being convicted. And they may never admit it, but they know what is in their heart, even if they are not in control. You just reach out to them. Extend concern and love for them. All the word is telling us that God wants us to correct people only in an effort to bring them to repentance. And I believe the devil's been lying to a lot of people, telling them, you can't judge. You can't judge. Because biblical correction is not judging. The Bible clearly states it's out of the will of God if our brothers and sisters are falling down and we turn our heads or we exercise them or we rejoice for their fall. We say that we are disciples, servants, Christians, religious people, whatever we call ourselves. We are held accountable, as stated in Galatians 6:2-3. It says, bear ye one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And verse 3 says, for if a man thinketh himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. We are to uplift and not hamper people further in their mess. Do you think God is going to say, well done, my faithful servant? Think not. We do reap what we sow. And that is not God's way, and he expects us to know what he expects. He expects us to know what he expects from us. But so many believe that it's okay to watch your brother or sister sinning and not be that witness that God has called you to be. You are commanded as a servant of God to obey God by helping them, not to watch them die in their sin. I'm reminded about this story in Luke 10, and I'm going to paraphrase what Jesus tells his disciples before sharing this parable, that men must love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their strength and mind. Then Jesus went on to say, hey, you got to love your neighbor as yourself. One of the disciples asked, who is my neighbor? And so that's when Jesus went into the parable, and he was telling them about this man that was traveling to Jericho who was robbed by thieves, and they left him on the side of the road, all beat up. They had robbed him and stuff. And there was the priest who passed by the man without helping him. Then came a Levite who kept going. Then here come this Samaritan who rendered help and bandaged up this man's knees. He took him to an inn, and he paid the innkeeper to care for the wounded man. My question to you today, which are you? Are you the priest? Are you the Levite? Are you the Samaritan? And the only way to have a closer walk with God, you have to follow the commands of God. We got to start today to love our brothers and sisters. We got to be that light of hope in their lives. And your reward will be so great. You are rewarded for your kindness. My beloved, do not slander one another. There is only one lawgiver and judge, and that's the one who's able to save and destroy. As I look at the condition of our world today, 2 Corinthians 12:20 say, I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. That's Jesus speaking. I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. Isn't that the way the world is right now today? That's why God is showing up, and he's uncovering. He's revealing. And those that think they are hiding, they may be hiding from man, but they're not hiding from God. And in time, God do reveal them and every dirty work, evil work that comes with them. Because he's the I am that I am. He's the beginning and the end. But yet people are doing as they please without any remorse in doing it. This world is evil and cold-hearted, and I will stand against the word of God and challenge them, and they will stand against the word of God, and they will challenge the word of God. And I know personally I have come face-to-face with some cold-hearted, evil people, and it would literally send chills through me. But I will take my stand against that spirit, and I will let them know who I am. My beloved, never let the enemy know you are weak. You better start calling that thing out in a minute. You better take authority over every spirit that come against you in Jesus' name. Because the devil is running real rapid. I don't glorify him and I don't give him no glory. But I want you to know who he is and know who you are. In my conclusion, that means we have conquered all the steps to a closer walk with God. But does that mean our battle is won? No, because as soon as you win in one area, God will start bringing you to perfection in some other area. Moreover, I guarantee you that the devil will start attacking that area with all his might, trying to undo what God has already done. But with perseverance and faith, you can gain a victory in that area as well. We are such a mess when we get saved that God will never run out of ways to improve us. Which means Satan will never run out of temptations to dangle in front of us. So you got to stand, and you got to know who you are. You got to know the power and authority in you. You got to know this word. You got to know God. You got to get closer with him. And that's the only thing that can save you. So if it seems like the enemy is giving you a hard time, take that as a sign that God is making progress with you. You're moving ahead. And now Satan is playing catch up. It's an unending struggle, my people. Jesus said before he left here, in this world we will have trials and tribulation, but take heart. take heart in him. It's going to take discipline and perseverance. It's not an easy thing. But the Spirit of God within us gives us all the power we need to win every battle we will ever face. In my closing, and the last scripture to encourage you, Jeremiah 29:13-14, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." See, if we seek and trust in God, even if we have strayed away from his will, when we are going through our storms, when we lose our way, God is saying he will free us of all our agony and despair. God is going to bring us and place us among our problems and situations so we can see his glory in the midst of it. These are the steps of a closer walk with God, with a humble heart. Love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. For God is holy, and he is love. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that your word went forth and revealed our hearts to ourselves. Lord, before I go on, and if anyone that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, that they will repent right now, asking God to forgive them and cleanse them, that they will be willing to accept Jesus into their lives. Lord, that you will create in them a renewed heart, soul, and mind. I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us a new revelation of your word, the word that penetrated our hearts to the point we will rise each day to make it a conscious effort to make our time on this earth a fruitful and a filling day. We ask you to give us guidance, discernment, revelation, how to live each day by your instructions and assignments that you give us. Lord, and you give wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. As a prophet of God, I call the angels of rescue in the lives of my listeners right this moment. Lord, I ask under the sound of my voice that every person needs be met. I declare and decree that every need, every desire, even unanswered prayer, whether it be finances, whether it be health, relationships, their children, the ministry, the business, that it be answered by the authority and the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for the children as they return to school, God. I pray, dear God, that you will be their protection, God, that they will be placed among positive people, God, that will interject positive things to them. Oh, God, I pray, dear God, that you will even minister to our little children's minds, God, when they are in distress. I know there is so much opposition that they may face in their life. Oh, God, but I pray, dear God, that you will assign an angel to them to help them to be able to rise up and be an army of soldiers for Jesus Christ. Oh, God, I pray for their safety. I pray, dear God, that you will open their mind, that you will impart wisdom in them like never before. And I pray for the teachers, the principals, the administrators, the cafeteria workers, the maintenance guys, that they will be a positive image before our children. Oh, God, I thank you, God. I come against child molesters and sexual maniacs or whatever you want to call them. Oh, God, I pray, God, that they will not touch our children. Oh, God, make them invisible to them when they try to approach them. Oh, God, I ask you for safety for our kids. Lord, anyone among us has sickness, we call them healed, and we're giving that sickness back to Satan. Holy Spirit, I pray your consuming fire cleansing is taking place in the temple of our bodies. Yokes are broken, and we are completely and totally healed in the name of the Father by Jehovah Rapha, the healer, that our body will return to its normalcy, conforming to the pattern of perfection that you design in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, dear God, by Jesus' stripes, we are already healed, no matter what the doctors say, God. And even if the doctor is performing anything, God. I pray, God, you will give him the wisdom and the knowledge and the strategy to heal, to be able to touch, to be able to perform, to be able to do whatever is necessary. I thank you for this word, Lord, that went forth tonight, that it will continue to minister to our spirit so we can become pleasing unto you. Lord, I pray that every person on this phone line or chat room or wherever they are listening, God, that you will bless their household, their finances, their health. Oh, God, that you will go through each room and you will release peace and comfort and prosperity. Oh, Father, we just love you and we just praise you. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. I thank y'all so much for tuning in, those of you that are listening in tonight. And I thank God that we were able to get through that word, and I thank God for the word. And I pray that you were blessed from the word. And if you want to interject anything concerning what we talked about tonight, call in number 657-383-0086 and press 1, and it will bring you in queue. And I think that person that's on, in the chat room, and may God just truly, truly bless you, and I thank God that you tuned in and that you supported this ministry. I thank God that y'all came in and allowed me to minister to you. And I pray that you have a great week. And I know it's still early in the week, and I pray that the rest of your week be blessed. I pray that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We counsel everything that the enemy is trying to line up. He will not be able to do anything that God won't allow. I pray that you have a safe travel. I pray, dear God, that person is blessed by you and that you will supernaturally bring forth whatever their heart desires. Father, and I'm just so pleased and happy. I remember a time I could not get on Blog Talk and deliver the word and stuff because I, as some of you know, I just came out of cancer. And God is truly amazing. He's faithful. And I don't want to talk about me because it's not all about me. It's about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I bless you. The person on the phone line didn't have anything to say, but God bless you and thank you so much for listening in. And come back and join me next Tuesday. I will be doing another segment. And I am going to go out with a song, and may you all just have a good night, and may God just truly bless you. I'm Prophet Shirley Cain with When the Walk to Jesus Ministry, and I just want to say good night to you and be so very blessed.
I want to introduce to you right now a close friend and brother. To me, he is one of the best interpreters of song and spoken word. My friend, Pastor Marvin Wyman. Be blessed.
Everybody,
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church,
say amen.
Yeah. Can I get a witness?
Let the church,
oh,
say amen.
To what his plans are.
Let the church,
to what his word says.
Amen.
Let the church,
say, amen.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. Make this your response,
amen,
to whatever he said,
amen,
from the healing of your body.
Amen.
What the devil does.